altar.
Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus.
Father God, in
the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, verse 24. Father God, we thank you, Lord. You've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. Hallelujah. You brought us thus far, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. It's a new mercy we see every day, Lord. We thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to see your face, to learn more of you. We thank you, Lord, for every man and woman, everyone on this call tonight. Hallelujah. We bless your name, O God. We glorify your name. We thank you, O God. You are our everything. We do honor you and praise you and magnify your name, O God. We glorify your name. And Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as you share with us your word today, Lord, we ask that you give us revelation, wisdom, and knowledge. Open up your word to us, O God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Reveal yourself to us in a greater way, O God. And we give you praise, and we give you the honor, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. And Father God, we thank you for spiritual authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Satan, in all your satanic courts, we curse you from the root and command you to be bound in Jesus' name. And Father God, we thank you for the harvest on the seed sown tonight. We thank you, Lord, for 30, 60, 100-fold, even a 1,000-fold increase in blessing in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Again, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. And the class said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Pastor, Lord, if you would give us the roll call right now, please.
Good evening. Antoinette Harris. Antoinette James.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Scott.
Adrian.
All right.
Hey, Scott.
Adrian Scott here and blessed.
Hubie Stevenson.
Hubie's in the house.
Cynthia Thompson.
Here.
Harry Warsaw.
Present.
And Janet Harris.
Okay, praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes, he is.
Hallelujah. Amen. Several things I want to mention before we go on any further. First of all, we will send you a link to the class automatically at the end of the class. Give us maybe, hopefully we'll get it done within 24 hours. And send you a link so you can hear the class again. Also, if there are...
Here. Present. Hey, Angie.
Yes, praise God.
Thank you, Angie.
Turn your mutes off so we can hear you talking. Okay. praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Anyway... Also, again, we will send you a link. So you see a strange text. That's the link to the class. Don't erase it. Just touch on it or whatever so you can hear the class again. And number two,
Amen.
There may be some people who want to hear Bible study. They're not in the class, so they can't call the 605 number. But they can call 515-602-9787 to hear the class if they so desire. So if you have somebody who just want to hear Bible study, they cannot have any input because you got to pay to play. Plus, you don't have the tools that you have been given so that you can flow. So if you know anybody that wants to chime in, not wants to listen in, excuse me, not chime in because they can't do that because we won't hear them. They can call the 515 number.
Amen.
Dr. Burris, may I ask the students, when you receive your link, when you realize you have it, if you can text back to me, got it, then I'll know that you received it.
Amen.
Okay, just in case, you know, something went wrong, whatever, and I would like to know that you received it. Thank you.
Good point. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, that's a very good point. Thank you so much. Okay. Also, we had mentioned a home assignment was due today. It's actually due next week. We gave you an extra week. That was that home assignment, that application activity. You pick one of three. I think it was on page 39. Is that correct? I think it was page 39. One of three.
Correct.
So that's due next Tuesday. Okay? All right. Question. Well, I thought I heard someone. Okay. Now, we're going to have a quiz today. Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, Lord.
I heard somebody said, oh, Lord. Don't dread it. Don't dread it.
No.
That would be the
Think about it. It's an easy quiz. And it's
an
open book quiz.
Oh,
but you need to write down the questions. They're going to be five. They're going to be five. So you need to write down the questions. And they're easy for you to answer, because I'm going to answer it as we go along anyway. So, but you need to know that they're going to be five. And this quiz is due to be turned in next Tuesday. By next Tuesday.
When
I say turn it in on Tuesday, you don't have to turn it in on Tuesday. You can turn it in tomorrow if you want to. You understand what I'm saying? But at least the deadline is next Tuesday. Is that okay?
It has to be. Those are the instructions.
It has to be, right?
Amen. So here are the questions. This is the quiz. Number one. What is the name of the church that's sponsoring this Institute of Biblical Learning? And the name of the church is the Potter's House Christian Prayer and Worship Center. That's the name of the church. So that's the answer to the first one. Wasn't that easy? But you got to write it.
That's a setup.
I know, but it's cool. Number two.
The Potter's House what?
Christian Prayer and Worship Center. The Potter's House Christian Prayer and Worship Center. Now, we're doing that because somebody will ask you, what are you doing? I'm in the Institute of Biblical Learning. What church sponsors that? Well, I don't know the name of the church. That's not too good. You understand what I'm saying? Name of the church, number one, the name of the church. The Potter's House Christian Prayer and Worship Center. Number two, this is going to be easier than that one.
Okay.
The name of the Institute of Biblical Learning. See, I told you it's going to be easy. This is not rocket science, y'all.
This is still seven.
What's the question?
The question is, what is the name of the institute? And the answer is the Institute of Biblical Learning. Oh, what's the name of the school? It's the Institute of Biblical Learning.
What is the name of the school?
That's the answer to
what is,
you got number one, right?
What is the name of the school?
What's the name of the school?
Institute of Biblical Learning.
The Institute of Biblical Learning.
My mother already asked me all this, and
you don't know the name of the school. I mean, that's rough, boy. Lord have mercy.
Now, look, and let me testify to that, because my mother asked me, And I told her, look, we're not going to get into all that.
Well, we're getting into it now. Thank you so much.
Which means now I can answer her.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Okay.
She's
so number one is
that.
The Potter's House Christian Prayer and Worship Center. Number two is the Institute of Biblical Learning. That's the answer. You're gonna use these in a sentence.
Okay.
This is not fill in the blank. The name of the church is the Potter's House Christian Prayer and Worship Center, or however you want to word it. Complete sentence. Number two, the name of the school is the Institute of Biblical Learning, or however you want to word it, but it has to be a complete sentence.
Okay.
Now, number three, scripture basis for the school. There were three scriptures. Number three is one of those scriptures. Not just where it is, but actually write it out and then put where it is.
The question
is, okay, this is for 3, 4, and 5. There's a scriptural basis for the school. Why are you doing this? Why we set up the school? There's a scriptural basis. And by the way, this is so easy. It's in your syllabus. All three of them.
That's okay. We'll take the answers now, though.
It's in your syllabus. I ain't going to tell you that because it's written out in your syllabus. But when you see the first scriptural basis, that's the answer to number three. And, of course, put the scripture where it's found, and that's in the syllabus.
Which is.
And then number four is the second scripture basis for the school and where it's found. And then the fifth is the third scriptural basis and where it's found.
I know, just to confirm.
In your syllabus?
Yeah, I just want to make sure we got the same syllabus.
You got three syllabi.
I read them all.
They're in all three of them.
Okay, I had to try, though.
So I'm going to give that to y'all so y'all can deal with that. I mean, I could not make a quiz any easier than this. Now, everybody should get an A on this here thing. You don't need no extra credit for this. Number one.
When is this due?
This is due next Tuesday. By next Tuesday.
Let's turn this in?
Yes.
Yes.
The quiz. You got to turn it in, y'all. Home assignment and quizzes, did I say a quiz? Because if I say oral quiz, that means that you don't have to turn it in. But this is just a quiz. You're going to turn this in. Again, number one, what is the name of the church? Number two, what is the name of the school or the institute? Number three, the first scripture basis for the church. Number four, the second scripture basis for the school. And then number five, the third scripture basis for the school.
And what were those scriptures again?
I ain't going to tell you. When a blind man types up syllabus, not just one, but three of them, I ain't going to tell you what's on it. You want to read it.
No, I was just thinking that in the land of the blind where the one eye is king. Okay. You know, that's all I was trying to think about. I got that one eye, okay?
Glory to God. We thank God for you. All right. So that's the quiz. Now,
Is that easy or is it greasy?
That's greasy.
Not pretty greasy, but kind of easy.
Okay.
Something that we can deal with.
Everybody's still on that. Now, let's see. Deacon AJ, you on there? You got that?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Sister Angie, you got that?
Kind of.
Now, the name of the church. You got that?
Yeah, I got number one and two, but I didn't get.
Okay, three. It's in your syllabus. It's a scriptural basis. It's in your syllabus. Okay. You'll see it. It's in your. It's in there. You just write it out. Oh, by the way, put quotes. If you quote. You put quotation marks around those scriptures. It's in the syllabus. I can't make it any simpler. And I'm not trying to be condescending or anything like that. I just want y'all to know some stuff. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Because somebody's going to ask you a question. Why are you doing it?
So are you?
And you need to be able to answer them.
Exactly.
That's why I want you to write it out. Don't just give me where it's found. Write it out, and then give me where it's found. And those are one, two, three, four, five. And of course, student collaboration is all right with me. Yeah. And of course, I have office hours between two and four, Monday through Friday. If you want to call me, 410-444-5152.
Okay, and at that time we can get confirmation of the scriptures?
No, I ain't giving you no confirmation of the scriptures. You got to look at the syllabus. I'm not going double dutch. I did that. Now it's done. Now y'all going to have to stick a fork in it yourself.
Done deal. Okay, I just checked them though. If you don't ask, you don't know.
All right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to leave that alone. All right.
Yes.
Now, one other thing, and I thank God for y'all because, you know, class participation is part of your final grade. And your suggestions, comments, questions and answers, that's all as part of class participation, so we love that. And one
Amen.
Of the things I talked about going to chapter 4. We ain't going to chapter 4 until we completely understand chapter 3. Is that right?
Amen.
Is that all
Amen.
Right?
Amen. Amen.
Because we're not just reading to read. We're reading for revelation. So, glory to God. Hallelujah. This chapter 3 that we're on, is a reflection of 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, St. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. We are children of God.
Amen.
And I think, as far as I know, the first person I heard say this was Hillary. She said it takes a village to raise a child.
Yes, ma'am.
We're children of the Most High God. It's not enough for us to say, well, I've been born again and I'm going to stay in my house and in my attic. I ain't going out nowhere and don't do nothing because I can serve God and I can learn and I can do all that kind of stuff in my house by myself. No, you can't.
No, you can't.
It takes a village to raise a child. It takes a church to raise a disciple. Spiritual maturity is a combination of the prayers of the righteous, the words of the righteous, the interaction with other folk. Because you're the average of the five people you hang around. You hang around five crooks, you're going to be the sixth. You hang around five liars, you're going to be the sixth. You hang around five lawyers, you're going to be the sixth. And some people say, well, that's same as life. No, that's you hang around five doctors, you're going to be the sixth. You hang around five entrepreneurs, you're going to be the sixth. So you need to hang around Christians.
Five disciples.
Who are living the life. Who are not just talking the talk, but walking the walk.
Amen.
It's important for you to understand you can't make it by yourself. God didn't call no Lone Ranger. The Lone Ranger wasn't even alone. He had
Tonto.
And then he had Silver and the horses. All like he had a whole bunch of folks at times. He had a nephew at one time riding with the two of them. And then sometimes he hooked up with the sheriff. And it's a whole bunch of things. You know, we can't do
he
it
even
by
had
yourself.
To cook.
So that's why it's important, the church. Now, we read, you got your book, Growing Towards Spiritual Maturity. That is your quest, spiritual maturity. You have not arrived to your destination by just arriving at the bus station or at the train station or at the airport. You get on the bus, you get on the train, you get on the plane. You still have not arrived at your destination, is that right?
Exactly.
It's going to take somebody to drive the bus. You can't drive the bus, mm-hmm. too. You're supposed to be a passenger. You can't fly the plane. You're the passenger. You ain't had no training and flying the plane, although some folks think they know it all. And they can do anything.
That
but
would be
yeah, but God gives us wisdom. But you go ahead and try to fly a plane and you haven't had one lesson and you don't even have a license. So if you go ahead and try to drive a car and you're 7 years old or you're 3 years old, your feet won't even touch the pedals. Come on now. But we try to
Bird,
do that with God.
Pastor Bird, I just got to say that if the power's going to crash, he need to at least give me a chance to fly the plane.
You know, it's important for us to understand.
That's right. Important
for us to understand. When we accept Christ as our personal Savior, we just came through the door.
That's right. We got
some growing to do.
Amen.
That baby just came out in the delivery room or on the stretcher or in the taxi cab or wherever the baby was born, they got some growing to do.
That's right.
They got to be potty trained. Glory to God. They're going to eat food, but it's strange, right? You know, it's strange peas and carrots and all other kinds. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, they got to eat that until they
it's
can.
It's a process.
It's a process. That's right. Until they got teeth and can masticate the food, so they can eat steak. You can't feed a 2 month old a steak. You'll kill the child.
Amen.
So it's important for us to understand we can't grow spiritually by ourselves. But the mandate is for us to grow. If we don't grow, then we are spiritually, I don't hear this word often anymore, but retarded. Our growth is retarded. There's some people that are still saying the same thing they said 5 years ago. They're still at the same level they were 10 years ago. There's something wrong with that picture. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Amen.
What I'm sharing, I want to share with y'all is that we do not compare ourselves with others. We must compare ourselves with ourselves and with the Word of God.
Amen.
When you're growing, you know how some people, especially children, when they're a certain age. They put a little mark, not supposed to do it, put a little mark on their door or in their room, their height, and they check it every now and then to see if they're growing. But I check is the Word of God.
Amen.
To see if we're growing. And if we're not growing, you know what's going on? We got spiritual retardation.
Exactly.
So we must grow in order to glow. Let your light shine. If you don't grow, you won't glow.
Amen.
You might go somewhere, but you won't glow. You don't glow.
Amen.
To God. So we're back in growing towards spiritual maturity, and I think we had 3 readers last time, and we read two paragraphs. So we should be at the 7th paragraph, 7 or 8 paragraphs. I need a reader. When you finish the paragraph, say, end the paragraph. And then we'll take time to get any questions about what we read. And then go to the next paragraph. And then when you finish that, we say, end the paragraph. Okay. Now, last time, I think Deacon AJ read, Sister Angie read, and was Prophet Cynthia, you read last time. Was that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I need others to read now. Okay. So I don't know where that 7th paragraph is, an 8th paragraph, but you need to pick it up.
So this is what
we should
got. And
we
I
should
just
be on the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, that's where it starts, the Holy Spirit. Okay.
The presence of the Holy Spirit on 34.
Oh, page 34. Okay. Okay, Brother Scott, did you say you want to read that?
Well, wait a minute. Yeah, I'll read that, but you said the 7th paragraph, correct?
Right, it's page 34.
Well, I'll start at page 34. I got no problem with that. The presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus foretold the coming of the Holy Spirit, another helper, John 14:16, who would be with them forever. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would be inside each of the disciples in a way they had never experienced before.
Hallelujah.
He goes on to say, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Verses 18 through 20. He promised then that when the Holy Spirit came, they would experience a greater degree of intimacy with God through his presence within them. After Christ left the earth, he sent his presence in the person of the Holy Spirit to the church collectively and to each believer individually. In a real sense, the power of the Holy Spirit makes the church as the community of disciples, the body of Christ. When those outside of the church sense the presence of Christ himself within individual believers and communities of believers, they will be more likely to want to be followers of Christ. End of paragraph.
Okay, any questions about that, anyone?
You know, this is Brother Scott again. I don't have a question, but I will testify to the fact that recently I actually shared this with my mother with regard to the fact that the importance of us, again, not just talking the talk, but walking the walk.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen. You can begin to read the next paragraph. Thank you. Thank you for the words, your comment, yes. You can go ahead and read the next paragraph, yes.
And I surely will. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit uniquely enable the local church to be an ideal environment for disciples to grow and mature into Christian likeness.
Christ likeness.
Christ
to grow mature into Christian likeness.
No, Christ.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you so much. Christ likeness. Listen, I know I'm not seeing very well,
okay.
But I'm in the night.
You read better than I
that's
do.
Okay. Okay, well, fine. You know, look, there's always someone who has a bigger mile to walk than you do. So, okay, so the gifts of the Holy Spirit uniquely enable the church, the local church, to be an ideal environment for disciples to grow and mature in Christ-likeness. In Ephesians 4:7-8, Paul states, grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascends on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Paul takes this illustration from a military custom. When an army conquered another city, the victors took prisoners back with them in a processional. As they entered their home city, the victorious army would distribute some of the spoils from the captured city as gifts to their people. Paul uses this illustration to explain the fact that when Jesus won the battle over Satan and his demons through the power displayed in his resurrection, he took the highest place of authority and gave gifts to the church. These gifts of the Holy Spirit enable every believer to play a significant role in making disciples of Christ. Under effective church leadership, followers of Christ are encouraged and equipped to use their various gifts cooperatively to build up the body and mobilize their collective resources to make disciples both in the local community and within other unreached people groups.
End of
paragraph.
Okay. The necessity of having the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is incalculable. You can't make it without the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And see, one of the tools of the Holy Spirit, or one of the things that the Holy Spirit does, Romans 8:26, it makes intercession for us. Because sometimes we don't know what to pray for.
Amen.
Sometimes we don't know what to say. So our prayer language, 1 Corinthians 14:2, 1 Corinthians 14:14, is prayer language. That's different from the prophecy, the gifts of prophecy, the tongues of prophecy. It's part of the diverse kinds of tongues. This particular tongue is a personal tongue.
Amen.
It's necessary because it builds you up. It causes elevation of your praise and worship. It just gives you a calming, stress relieving type of atmosphere where you can be sensitive to God's spirit. It's a direct communication between the spirit in you, the Holy Spirit of God that's in you, and God himself. That's why you use it personally. It is such a dynamic tool. Because there's some situations I've come across in my walk. I don't know what to say to somebody.
Amen.
So I get, use my prayer language. And again, it's my prayer language. So you ain't going to sound like me.
Oh, amen. Lord.
Yeah, Lord have mercy.
Amen.
You're not going to sound like me. You're going to sound like you. You open your mouth. Praise God. Y'all don't know this, but our time is up.
No, we're just getting into it.
No, no,
I know. No. Yeah, Lord have mercy.
So this
we had to do some things earlier. We had to do our quiz and, you know, to set that up. And hallelujah, glory to God, and make those other comments. But thank God, thank you all for the, Brother Scott, thank you for the reading. And look, thank all of you for coming to class today.
Yes.
This is Brother Scott, and if I may, I really would appreciate interjecting this. So Brother, there was a time when I was down in Georgia, and I attended a very, very prominent and high-profile church.
Uh-huh.
And I'll just be straight. At that point in time, it was the church pastored by Quevlo Dollar. And at that point in time, my spouse at that time had gotten me with a group of other individuals, decided they was going to pray for me to speak in tongues. And so, you know, being open to anything that the Lord would have for me, according to his will, I participate. And they're praying, and they're doing all this other stuff, and they're saying a lot of little different things. And ultimately, I'm going to be honest, at the end of the day, I'm like, okay, let me hurry and put an end to this. And so I rattle off some things, I guess. And then they was like, hold on. You're trying too hard. It's this, that, and the other. I'm like, okay. I said, and I understand what y'all saying, and I appreciate it. But let me ask you this. And I pointed to several individuals. I said, you were speaking in tongues, correct? And they was like, yes. And I said, you were speaking in tongues, correct? Yeah. And for several individuals, I pointed out, I said, well, let me ask you this. Of this entire group, is there anybody who can tell me what any of them say? And you know I became the bad guy, right?
Let me just, because we don't want to friends on the next class, but I would share this. The number one, the tongues are personal. Number two,
exactly.
There are several kinds of tongues. There are tongues that must need interpretation, but the personal tongues don't need interpretation.
Exactly.
And you will know it. But this is going to take another venue. I got to end this. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you for your comment and what you said.
Time go by so fast.
Hey, I know it does. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we do thank you for this class. We thank you, Lord, for what you even shared on today. We thank you, Lord, for those that are in the class. We praise your name. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, for blessing them and their families, providing for every need and abundance. And we give you the
Amen.
Grace, the glory, and the honor, and the praise, for it's truly yours, oh God, in Jesus' name. And the class said,
Amen.
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 Yeah,
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Hey, Siri, what time is it?
It's 7:24 p.m.
Oh, you got about 6 minutes before the next class begins. So y'all get a glass of tea. Glass of water. Do whatever you guys do. Class will begin at 7:50. All right. God bless you now.
And for those who said they need a drink, this is the time.
All right. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Power on. Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected.
This little light of mine.
Now playing This Little Light of Mine by James Abington and Morgan State University Choir.
This little light of mine, oh, I'm the light inside. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine.
3 minutes before the next class starts. I just want to share with y'all, I didn't tell y'all that, but that home assignment for spiritual maturity, you can use the King James Version Bible, the New King James Version Bible, the Amplified Bible, the Message Bible, or NIV. It's your choice to answer those last three questions. You can use that, or you can just copy right from the syllabus. And you all got syllabi, because we gave you three.
And what were those scriptures again?
You don't quit.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
6 seconds.
Wait a minute.
He raised the subject, so I'm just checking.
No, you're just checking. I hear you talking.
Just checking, that's all.
I hear you talking. But I want to see your fingers doing a walk.
Senior citizen. You know, my memory is challenged.
Oh, you're not as senior as I am. My next.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I'm not as challenged.
Oh, yeah, you got it. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13 that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So you go
Amen.
Ahead.
Amen, and that's my fallback.
All right. We got two more minutes. Hallelujah. So God bless you real good, and I hope y'all ready with your reading assignment for this next class. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Power on. Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected.
Welcome, class, to Know Your Bible.
Amen.
Deacon AJ, are you there?
Always and blessed.
So, Deacon AJ, your voice changed, Deacon AJ.
My mistake, that was Deacon Adrian Scott, so I take away the deacon, but that was me, so
Adrian Scott's here. Okay, Anjanette Harris, Sister Anjanette Harris.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Elder T.B. Stevenson.
T.B.'s in the house.
Hallelujah. Prophet Cynthia.
Here.
Brother Harry Warsaw.
Here.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
All right.
Did I get everybody, Pastor Peaches?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Did Angie's answer?
Yes, he did. Yes.
Okay.
Now, I'm just going to review some stuff for you, for your notes, so y'all can have this real quick. I'm going to go real quickly. There are 1,189 verses in the chapters in the Bible. 1,189 chapters in the Bible. You should have it in your notes. The middle chapter of the Bible is Psalms 118. 594 chapters before that chapter and 594 chapters after that chapter. 594, correct. Before and after that chapter. So that's smack dab in the middle. Hallelujah. There are 31,102 verses in the Bible. 31,102 verses in the Bible. There are 28,145 in the Old Testament.
Repeat.
28,145 in the Old Testament. 28,145 in the Old Testament.
Verses, right.
And 29,57 in the New Testament. Yes. There are 929 chapters in the Old Testament and 260 in the New Testament.
These are chapters.
Oh, those are chapters. If you add those two together, that should give you 1,189 chapters in the entire Bible. And we're talking about the King James Version Bible. You said, why?
Excuse me, it's 927. That's the old opening.
929 in the Old Testament, 260 in the New Testament. And you say, why is this important? If you want to know somebody's face, you want to know about all of it, the whole face, the nose, the ears, the eyes, the hair, the chin, the lips, you know, just the whole thing. So just put that in your... Just remember that.
In short, know your Bible.
Know your Bible. Shoot.
Amen.
Sister Angie, I know you wrote these down before. Were you able to keep up with it there?
No.
You got 1,189 chapters in the Bible?
No.
Write it down.
Do you hear what
write
I'm saying?
Write it down.
1189.
Yeah, I got
now,
it.
Did you write 1189 down?
Yes.
Okay. Now let me be consistent. There's 929 chapters in the Old Testament, and you can do 929. And you can put old. Old T.
Like we are.
Speak for yourself. I'm 25 plus. Anyway,
I'm
then there's 260.
I'm trying to hear.
The new T. Okay, did you write that down?
Uh-huh.
Okay, you're doing good. I'm Shakaria Pukaria. The 31,031,102 verses. We're just talking about the King James Version Bible, by the way, y'all. 31,102.
Verses in the Bible, right?
Verses in the Bible.
Yeah.
King James.
Now, in the
you
old.
31,102?
Yes.
Yes. Now, in the OT.
Not the OG.
No, the OT. That's 28145. This is verses. 28145.
And these are pages, right?
No, these are verses.
These are verses.
Verses in the Old Testament. 28,145.
Amen.
Thank you, Holy Ghost. Okay. And in the New Testament, the New T, you got to abbreviate sometimes to stay up, because
yeah.
I do talk fast sometimes, and y'all have to apologize to me. And you can say, Dr. Brad, can you slow your roll just a little bit, or something like that, you know.
Only us old people going to do that, Doc.
Oh, okay, I understand. Hallelujah.
Okay.
In the New Testament, there's 2957. That's verses in the New Testament. 2,957 in the New Testament, or New T. Y'all got that, right?
Yes, yes, sir.
All right.
Yes.
So that gives you a comfort zone, that knowledge, and you can kind of flow with you. You know, tell yourself to remember it. I'm going to remember this, hallelujah, because you don't know when somebody will come up with something. Say, oh, you don't know the Bible. Sir, ma'am, I do know the Bible. I know the King James Version Bible. There are 1,189... Hallelujah, glory to God, chapters in the King James Version Bible. There are 31,102 verses in the entire Bible. See, you can put them back, you know, you can just back them up. So listen, look here, when I speak what's in the Word of God. And you begin to throw that out, that's not sure. Look. That's just letting them know that you're familiar. You have a real personal relationship with your God and with His Word.
Amen.
Not just a
Amen.
Cursory. Cursory means like a surface thing, not deep. When y'all get to know the verses and the how many chapters in the Bible and all that kind of stuff, you dig in deep. You understand what I'm saying? He wants you to get deep.
Yeah, right. You quantify your walk.
Hallelujah. You qualify and quantify your walk. But, okay, thank you, Lord. So I just wanted to kind of rehearse that with you. Now, the reading assignment was to read and know your Bible, the books of the law. Somebody tell me, what are the books of the law in the Old Testament?
Genesis, Exodus.
Who is this?
Leviticus.
Announce yourself.
Numbers, Deuteronomy.
Who is this?
Hey, yeah,
you don't even start over, right?
Identify yourself and then give the answer so we know.
This is AJ. In a book of law.
And you
also have Moses and what's that, the Torah and the Pentateuch.
Yeah, now you just
have,
see, I just asked you to give the books of the law. You took my other questions that I didn't ask. You're trying to be like God. God gives us the answer before we even ask the question. And you done gave
okay.
I was going to ask about the Torah and the Pentateuch, and you done gave that answer already. But those are the
problems. You know,
that's all right. Got God. I can't knock you for being like God. Is that right?
Right.
Okay, again, The books of the law, or the books of Moses, or the Torah, or the Pentateuch, are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy.
Amen.
Okay. Before we even start going through that real quick, I need to ask, did anybody go to YouTube to look up the history of the King, the English Bible, or the King James Version Bible?
Amen by Brother Scott.
Oh, yeah, Brother Scott. One salient point that you saw, not a whole lot, just a little bit, because we don't want to use them all the time.
Well, let me say this. So I was intrigued by your statement that the King James Version was written in blood.
Mm.
And if you review that on YouTube, you will come to a very comfortable understanding as to what is meant by it was written in blood, because many, many people died, okay? And I'm not talking about in their sleep and at peace, but through torture, persecution, to make sure that they stay true to representing the word of God through the King James Version.
Mm. Yeah, well, thank you so much. And I want you to, all of you, the home assignment for next week, this is not to be turned in. This is just a viewing assignment. It's not for next week, because we don't have class nor your Bible next week, but in 2 weeks, between now and 2 weeks, go to YouTube. If you can't get YouTube on your phone, see if you can get it on somebody else's phone, like on your computer, and put in the history of the English Bible or the history of the King James Version Bible, and then pick out one salient point, just like Brother Scott
did. History of what? Excuse me?
History of the English Bible.
Thank you.
Yes, the English Bible. And let me just share it with you. 90% of the Bibles in the world right now that have been published are English Bibles.
Amen. That's exactly.
And probably 90% of those English Bibles that are published are the King James Version Bible.
The most published Bible in the world.
In the world. And the reason that God needed it to be in the English language, because 90% of the world speaks English, either first, second, or third language, they speak English. To transact business, people learn English. That's one of the languages they learn in order to transact business. So God knew that was a day coming where most of the world will be speaking English.
Yeah.
That's why there was so much fight against English, putting the Bible, Word of God, in English. But anyway, that's enough of that. Okay, get your Know Your Bibles out. Know Your Bible book text out.
Brother Scott got it.
All right. Now, someone read what it says about Genesis.
All right, Brother Scott will start. So, Genesis, author, not stated, but traditionally attributed to Moses. Date: Moses lived around the 1400s B.C., but the events of Genesis date to the very beginning of time. In 10 words or less, God creates the world and chooses a special people. Details, please. The Bible's first book never explains God. It simply assumes his existence. In the beginning, 1:1, chapters 1 and 2, describe how God created the universe and everything in it simply by speaking, God said, and it was. 1:6-7, 9:11-14-15. Humans, however, received special handling as God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. 2:7. and woman was crafted from a rib of man. Those first two people, Adam and Eve, lived in perfection, but ruined paradise by disobeying God at the urging of a so crafty 3-1 serpent. Sin throws humans into a moral freefall as the world's first child, Cain, murders his brother Abel. People become so bad that God decides to flood the entire planet, saving only the righteous Noah, his family, in an ark boat full of animals. After the earth repopulates, God chooses a man named Abraham as patriarch of a specially blessed people, later called Israel, alternative name of Abraham's grandson, Jacob. Genesis ends with Jacob's son, Joseph, by a miraculous chain of events ruling in Egypt, setting up the events of the following books of Exodus. The story of Joseph is one of my favorites, by the way. So, quotable, God said, "Let there be light, and there was light." 1:3. The Lord said unto Cain, "Where is Abel, thy brother?" And he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" 4:9. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. 6:8. He, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness.
I think it was Abram instead of Abraham.
I'm sorry, Abram. You're exactly right. He, Abram, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. 15:6. Unique and unusual. Genesis quickly introduces the concept of one God in multiple persons, a concept later called the Trinity. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." 1:26, emphasis added. Also, early on, God gives a hint of Jesus' future suffering and victory when he curses the serpent for deceiving Eve. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Genesis answers the great question, where did I come from? Knowing the answer can give us meaning in a world that otherwise hard to figure out. End of chapter.
Praise God. Any questions about Genesis? Moses lived about how many years B.C.?
1400
B.C. And some of you may see in writings now, BCE, which some translate as before Common Era. I will translate it before Christian Era, so we can keep Christ in our time zones, our time calculation. And you will see CE, which means Common Era, that takes the place of AD. That is, I translate that to Christian era. But anyway,
okay.
1400 BCE or BC.
Right.
And, okay, any other questions? Any questions or comments about Genesis?
I thought BC meant before Christ.
Yes. That's what it meant way back when. They changed that in the 90s. Or some folks were trying to take Christ out of the chronological dating. So they changed it to BCE. This was actually done in the late 1800s, but it was sort of undercurrent until maybe the 1990s, 1980s, when academia decided to use BCE, which they said stands for Before Common Era. And CE was Common Era. But we who love the Lord and know the Lord will change it. We'll use their lettering, but we'll say Before Christian Era and Christian Era. It means the same thing. B.C. and A.D., Anno Domini. You know, the same thing after his death, talking about Christ. But it's the same thing. So if you hear it, you got one up on a lot of people. B.C., B.C.E., the same thing.
Amen.
A.D. and C.E., the same thing. But we will share Before Christian Era, Christian Era. So you learn this because you're in an institute of higher learning. So you're going to learn something that folk on the street may not know.
So B.C. is what? Before Christian?
B.C.E. is Before Christian Era.
Because regular B.C. is before Christ?
Before
yeah.
Christ. But that was what happened in 1800s.
In the 1800s, some Jewish folks said, look here, we got to get Christ out of the chronology.
Amen, that's right.
So we're going to change this, and we're going to say BCE, Before Christian Era, or CE, Before Common Era, or CE, Common Era. In other words, BCE was supposed to take the place of BC. And CE was to take the place of AD. And so AD meant Anno Domini, which refers to Christ and his life and death. You know, so we understand that. But we as born again, tongue-talking, fire-baptized Christians, we take what they try to do, and we're gonna turn it into something still good. We can still put Christ in the chronology of time. BCE, Before Christian Era, and CE, Christian Era. Era, that's ERA, by the way. Okay.
And that's why it's important to look up the history of the Bible, because this will lay a foundation for why it was so important to take Christ out of this and put man.
That's right. The Catholic Church was one
yes,
of
sir.
Was crucifying people, but burning people at the stake. Burning people
because they wanted to be
the Lord's English. But anyway, okay, so we got that. Okay. Someone else read Exodus, and know your Bible. We don't want time to drag, so I need popcorn people.
Exodus, author, not stated but traditionally contributed to Moses. In Exodus 34 and 27, God tells Moses, write thou these words, and Jesus, in Mark 12, 26, quotes from Exodus as the book of Moses, states, approximately the mid-1400s B.C. In 10 words or less, God delivers his people, the Israelites, from slavery in Egypt. Details, please. The Israelites prospered in Egypt, having settled there at the invitation of Abraham's great-grandson Joseph, who entered the country as a slave and rose to second in command. When Joseph died, a new pharaoh seized the That's a good word. Brother going family as a threat and makes the people his slaves. God hears the Israelites groaning, remembering his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. That's Jacob 2 and 24. And raising up Moses as their deliverer. God speaks through a burning bush. And Moses reluctantly agrees to demand the Israelites' release from Pharaoh. To break Pharaoh's will, God sends 10 plagues on Egypt, ending with the death of every firstborn child, except those of Israelites. They put the sacrificial blood on their doorposts, causing the Lord to pass over 12 and 13, their homes. Pharaoh finally allows the Israelites to leave the country, the Exodus, and God parts the Red Sea for the people who are being pursued by Egyptian soldiers. At Mount Sinai, God delivers the Ten Commandments, rules for worship, laws to change the family into a nation. When Moses delays on the mountain, the people began worshiping a golden calf, bringing a plague upon themselves. Moses returns to restore order, and Exodus ends with the people continuing their journey to the promised land of Canaan, following God's pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. God's quotable. God says unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall thy say unto the children of Israel, I am, have sent me unto you. 3 and 14. Thus saith the Lord, let my people go. That's 8 and 1. When I see the blood, I will pass over. 12 and 13. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. 20 and 3. Quote and usual. God told the Israelites to celebrate the Passover with a special meal of bread made without yeast. Chapter 12, 14 through 15. 3,000 years later, Jewish people still commemorated the event. So what? The story of redemption is on clear display in Exodus as God rescues his people from their slavery in Egypt. In the same way, Jesus breaks our bonds of sin. Hebrews 2 through 15. Amen. The end of the chapter.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Any questions on that one? All right. All right, someone do Leviticus.
Leviticus, Cynthia Thompson, author, not stated but traditionally attributed to Moses, date approximately the mid-14 BC, in 10 words or less, a holy God, explain how to worship him. Details, please. Leviticus means about the Leviticanites, describes how they family line to lead the Israelites in worship. The book provides ceremony laws as opposed to the moral laws of Exodus, describing offering to God's dietary restrictions and purification rites, special holy days, including the Sabbath, Passover, and Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, are commanded. The family of Aaron, Moses' brother, is ordained as Israel's formal priesthood. Leviticus lists several blessings for obedience and many more punishments for disobedience. Quotable. Ye shall be holy, for I, God, am holy. 11:34. The life of the flesh is in the blood. It is blood that makes an atonement for the soul. 7:11. Unique and unusual. Leviticus blood sacrifices are contrast with Jesus' death on the cross by the writer of Hebrews, who need it not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices. For this he did once when he offered himself. 7:27. So what? Though we do live under the rule of Leviticus, we still serve a holy God and should treat him as such. End of paragraph.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. All right.
Praise God. Amen.
Numbers. Somebody do numbers.
Okay, Scott will do them. Numbers.
Power off.
Not stated, but traditionally attributed to Moses. Date, approximately 1400 B.C. In 10 words or less, faithless Israelites wander 40 years in the wilderness of Sinai. Detail, please. Numbers begins with a census, hence the book's name. 14 months after the Israelites escaped Egypt, they number 603,550 men, not including the Levitites. So this mass of people, the newly formed nation of Israel, began a march of approximately 200 miles to the promised land of Canaan, a journey that will take decades to complete. The delay is God's punishment of the people who complain about food and water, rebel against Moses, and hesitate to enter Canaan because of powerful people already living there. God decrees that this entire generation will die in the wilderness, leaving the promised land to a new generation of more obedient Israelites. Quotable, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving inequity and transgression.
Transgression.
14:18. Unique and unusual, even Moses misses out on the promised land. Punishment for disobeying God by striking rather than speaking to a rock from which water would miraculously appear. 21-13. So what? God hates sin and punishes it. We can be thankful that Jesus took that punishment for us. Know your Bible. End of reading.
All right. I need someone to do Deuteronomy.
Is that somebody sleeping or breathing hard?
I'll do Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Author. Traditionally attributed to Moses. An ideal supported by Deuteronomy 31:9. Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests and unto all the elders of Israel.
Amen.
Chapter 34, recording Moses' death, was probably written by his successor, Joshua. Date, approximately 1400 B.C. In 10 words or less, Moses reminds the Israelites of their history and God's law. Details, please. With a name meaning second law, Deuteronomy records Moses' final words as the Israelites prepare to enter the promised land. 40 years have passed since God handed down his laws on Mount Sinai. And the entire generation that experienced that momentous event has died. So Moses reminds the new generation both of God's command and of their national history as they ready their entry into Canaan. the invasion will occur under Joshua, as Moses will only see the promised land from Mount Nebo. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there. And he, God, buried him in a valley in the land of Moab. But no man knoweth of his
sepulchre.
Thank you. Sepulchre into this day, unto this day. 34, yes. 5, and 6. Moses was 120 years old. Quotable. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. 6:4. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. 6:5. The Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. 6:15. Unique and unusual. The New Testament quotes from Deuteronomy dozens of times, including three from the story of Jesus' temptations in the wilderness in Matthew's 4, 1 through 11. The Lord defeated Satan by restating Deuteronomy 8, 3. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. 6:16. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And 6:13. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The Ten Commandments, most commonly found in Exodus 20, are restated in full in Deuteronomy 5. So what? Deuteronomy make clear that God's rules and expectations aren't meant to limit and frustrate us, but instead to benefit us. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. 6:3 in the reading.
Praise God. May God add signs, wonders, miracles, and blessings to all of the readings. Any questions about any of that? Hallelujah.
Right on time.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Right on time. God.
Hallelujah.
I beg your pardon. What did you say?
I said we serve a right on time God.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Okay. Now, I'm going to give you a home assignment, but it's not due for 2 weeks. I want you to select one of the first books of the Torah or the books of the law and write about what is unique and significant about that book. In other words, you have a choice of 5 books. You choose which book you want to write about, and you want to write what is significant about that book, unique and significant. Again, the home assignment for Know Your Bible, due in 2 weeks, is to select one of the books of the law of the Old Testament and write what you think is unique or special or significant about that book.
You're talking about the one, you're talking about like the one that the you're talking about the Moses, the Torah, or the Pentateuch?
Yeah, all of them are the same. The books of Moses, the Pentateuch, the books of the law, the Torah, that's the same. They're the 5, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Pick one of those.
Either one. Okay.
Either one. One of the, not all of them. Just one book. One book. Say, well, I want to do something on Deuteronomy. Okay, then you write what is significant or unique about Deuteronomy.
Okay.
Your opinion.
Just
one thing.
You say, what is unique or special?
Special about that book, in your opinion, because this is your opinion, because a lot of things that are unique about all of those books that we've read about. But in your opinion, what do you think is the most unique thing about that book? Again, you can select either Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, or Deuteronomy. Not do all of them, just one. You have a choice. Okay? All right. Brother Harry, are you still in the hospital?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so I know you didn't have your book with you. So that's why I didn't hear anything from you for reading. Now, I understood that. Y'all continue to pray for Brother Harry. He's in the hospital. Let's see. You haven't gone into labor yet, have you?
No.
Somebody needs to be laughing.
Well, just let us know what you have, okay? Look, you are a light upon to all us men to show that we can do it.
Yes. And see, in the hospital, on a sick bed, he tunes
in labor.
That's awesome, Brother Harry. I'm proud of you, by the way. I'm proud of Brother Scott. I'm proud of you, too, because we've been praying with you. And you have gone through stuff a lot. We've been there.
Right.
We done that. We know.
Right.
It's not. A lot of people say, "Well, I feel for you," but they haven't gone through what you've gone through. But I can tell you for
exactly.
a fact that we have gone through what
anything,
you went through.
We need
through.
To learn to
walk. God
can God's
take
will.
You through all of it. So God
Amen.
Bless you. We've been praying for you. We continue to pray for you.
Thank
and all of you.
I appreciate each and every one of you.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. And all of you, Sister AJ, did you get that assignment for 2 weeks?
Yes. To select one book of the law and write what's unique or special about it.
Right.
Submit your thesis.
Sister Angie, did you understand that? Sister Angie,
what you please?
Sister Angie, okay, Sister AJ, Deacon AJ, you would touch bases with her later on.
That's
okay.
I like to say, Brother Harry, you're so commendable. I'm telling you, persevering and pressing through. Not only did you have a crown, now you have diamonds in it already.
Amen.
Amen. That's why I had to say I'm proud of you. Because other folks would say, Chef, I'm in the hospital. I ain't dealing with this.
Exactly.
But you persevered. Yeah, you persevered, and God bless you. Now, you really would have knocked me out if you said, I had my books with me, got the Charles Concordance, got the King James Version, the Message, and you took all that stuff with you. That would have blew me away. I would have been speechless. But still, you still are blowing their way anyway. God bless you. Love you now.
Can I want to say for ears real quick? So in 2 weeks, which will be November the 1st, we have two assignments due. And, of course, we have three assignments due this coming Tuesday.
Well, see, I'm just dealing with this class here.
If you say so, we'll
compartmentalize. Because you're going
to
mix
it. Well, you gave us two assignments tonight, due in 2 weeks. 2 weeks is November 1st.
Yeah, two weeks. The assignment I just gave you is a 2 week assignment. In other words,
right.
And I don't mean you're 2 weeks to give to turn it in. It's not W-E-A-K. It's W-E-E-K.
All right.
It's not T-O-O-W-E-A-K. It's the T-W-O-W-E-E-K.
Oh, just to clarify, what was those scriptures again?
you know what? You know, you are a comedian. You know what? You ought to be on stage.
And Jesus made we ain't supposed to give up, okay?
Going out of town.
And Jesus, in Jesus' name, we ain't supposed to give up.
God bless you all. Love y'all. Thank you for being on the call.
Been there, done that.
And for flowing. And somebody call Angie and wake her up. I know she done fell asleep at the wheel. Hopefully she wasn't tired.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Praise
no.
the Lord.
She was reading. I think she read. I don't know. No, she had her books with her, so she wasn't driving. So praise the Lord. Right. Glory to God. All right. God bless you. And have it fall upon you. And let me see. I got one more thing to do. All minds are clear. Amen.
Right.
Father God, thank you.
We have a
positive
prayer line in the morning. You can get 1 point every morning.
Every morning you get 1 point. For being in the morning worship, an extra point that you can use it at any time. You throw these out. They're adding up now. Also, you get 5 points if you make it to a Sunday service. You get 5 points. And this coming Sunday, Pastor Jason Roseberg is our speaker. And, of course, we're going to have a four-course meal after the service, a free fellowship dinner. And we're going to be giving certificates and all kinds of stuff out for the first semester. So God bless you all. Love you. Hallelujah. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He, the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever, in Jesus' name. And the class said,
amen,
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 amen. Amen. And look, we're gonna. There's some folks that need to be piggybacked even in the morning worship. So if you desire to do that, you need to check with one of your fellow students to see if they can piggyback you into the morning worship. God bless you all. Love you now.
And bless you all. Amen.
Good night.
Good night. Now.
Good morning.
God loves you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Hallelujah.
Holy.